Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Standing there looking at the man in the mirror. Hard to make a change when you're so far gone. Feeling like your dreams couldn't be any further. But you're doing what you gotta do just to keep the lights on. Praying hard from light and rain. But it won't let up, go away. Won't be long, cause we've all seen brighter days. Not alone, cause I'm just one call away. So don't forget when life brings you down. It won't last forever, it's just. You got the whole world on your shoulders. You try to walk with it, but you stumble and fall again. Out here on your own, thinking nobody loves you. And you wouldn't be mad if you didn't wake up the next day. But you're praying hard, so your knees don't feel a thing. And you smile, don't fool this masquerade. If there's a God, why won't he help me through the pain? The reason why is to make a stronger man. So don't forget when life brings you down. It won't last forever, it's just for right now. Everything will turn back, back around. So you don't have to stay on, you don't gotta stay off the ground. I'll pick you up. Oh, I'll pick you up, oh, oh. I'll pick you up. I'll pick you up.
You're now tuned into the most powerful platform for truth anywhere on the face of planet Earth and beyond. You're tuned into the voice of an entire nation. Welcome to the Star and Crescent Report. As always, we open up in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is none other than Master Farad Muhammad, the almighty, all-wise, true and living God, Allah, who has come to us this day and granted us a divine mercy and reminder in the presence of the last and most surely the greatest of the apostles, prophets, and messengers of God to ever live. We speak about none other than our leader, teacher, and guide for these final days of judgment, the most holy and humble, Elijah Muhammad. And we greet all of our listening and viewing audiences with the greetings of peace, love, and paradise in the original language of Arabic, which means peace be unto you. We say to you all in both their names of love, As-salamu alaykum. For those of you who may wish to participate in our discussion today, you're welcome to call in at 347-989-0855. That's 347-989-0855. Or you can hit us up with a message at Hiram1555@yahoo.com. That's Hiram1555@yahoo.com. As always, we like to thank you for giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. We like to thank the thousands of of you who listen live from around the globe and the thousands of you who will download us later from all of our affiliate sites, be it Hiram1555.tumblr.com, Twitter.com/Hiram1555, Facebook.com/Hiram1555, BlogTalkRadio.com/Hiram1555, and our main news blog, which is formerly TrumpetOfTruth.wordpress.com and also formerly SalaamJournal.com and SalaamJournal.org, which is now the Hiram1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. Again, my beloved family, let me say unto you all, As-salamu alaykum, and welcome to another edition of the most powerful, educational, and soul-stirring event and show brought on the air. This is your platform for black education, black liberation, and black edification. This is the Star and Crescent Report, and our show today is titled The Dead Zone Memoirs, Entry Number 3, The Fear of a Meltdown is Real. Before we go on that, we'd like to thank the Hellblaze, sponsors this show, and we also have a sponsor, Goodfellas Sports, over on YouTube. They sponsor today's show, Brother Gerald, Brother Amir, Brother Rashid, Brother Mikhail, and there's a few others. If I forget you at this moment, charge it to my head and not to my heart. And thank you for your support. Continue to support us, whether it be verbal, whether it be financially, whatsoever you do in charity will be given back to you by the Lord of the world. Now let's go forward into this powerful show, okay? Brothers and sisters, if you have been watching the news lately, just a hint of it, and you have not been preoccupied with court TV, if you have not been preoccupied with the Kardashians and sport and play, it's been blasted all across the public news for a change. This white man, this American white man specifically, sees a collapse in the economy. They see a collapse in the power of America, a collapse in the power of the Western world. Because remember, whenever we talk about America, we can't talk about the collapse or the fall of America, the decline of American living standards, the removal of America as the global juggernaut. We cannot talk on those terms without bearing in mind that America is the greatest and strongest pillar of white domination globally. And if this pillar is weakened, cracked, or removed, the house of colonialism, white privilege, and empire collapse with it. So bearing that in mind, this is why Europe is so frustrated and divided now. As I told a few people, I got an email one time, and I think I've addressed this on the show. When you see what's going on in Ukraine and in the Baltics, the Black Sea, and then when you see what's going on in Syria and the surrounding areas when it's pertaining to America and Russia, and people keep saying, Russia is deploying this, and if America does X, Y, and Z, Russia will do this in response. And then when America provokes them, you don't see Russia do anything. Or behind closed doors, they do, and people get frustrated. Bear in mind, brothers and sisters, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that these powers, like Russia, would be dragged into war with the empire. They weren't coming willingly. They would be dragged into it due to the fact that they understand that when this conflagration or this war or these military head-to-head hits take place, it will weaken the infrastructure of white privilege. It would weaken the infrastructure of white politics, white economics. They understand this very well. So Russia is very hesitant to respond militarily head on. It ain't because they fear America. No, that ain't what's going on. They fear the judgment. They understand well what the scriptures say. They know what Elijah Muhammad said better than you and I can ever repeat to them, because they have historical logs of these things. They have tapes and things that you've never heard, recorded private conversations that you've never heard. And now the fear is real because they are going back into those archives and they're dissecting and piecing apart what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has stated concerning this time and the collapse of white power globally, but specifically and especially the decline and fall of the American Republic or the American Empire. You understand? Let me, while I'm talking on this subject, let me go to Fall of America. Let me grab this book over here. All right, here we go. I got my Fall of America. Let's go to something. I've read this because I want to bring something to your mind. I want to sit something on your mind and have it marinate as we go forth in the show. We're going to reread this chapter here. And when we reread this chapter, short chapter, you're going to listen to. When we reread this chapter, a short chapter, I want you to bear in mind the economic, political, and geopolitical ramifications that comes along with what is being spoken in this chapter. And when we reread it, we're going to see if what he said is the absolute truth, because we're going to play a clip of what these white people are now saying. The top echelon of the Western world, the top echelon of American politics and power, those who have been in the halls of power in America. And we're going to see if the fear is real. And do they see anything good coming to the American Republic in these days? So let's go to chapter 46, if you want to read along with me, okay? This is very, very pertinent. Because, again, as Elijah Muhammad correlates the fall of this world, and he talks about that in terms of the collapse of American power, he also brings to bear that it is likened to the fall of the British Empire. See, I told you throughout the books, there's a theme here. In each chapter, there are themes that go on. And if you are not aware of where he's trying to take your mind, you can memorize this stuff, but memorization does not equal understanding. You understand? So this chapter is titled, and I want to start this off as I'm going. This wasn't pre-planned. But because I'm talking on the fear of a meltdown is real. And before I play this clip, we're going to preface it with this to give you a deeper understanding of the what, the why, the when, and the where, and the how. So when you read these articles, see these events, when you hear of what they're saying and what is going on and what they're fearing, you can get a deeper understanding and not just surface understanding, okay? The great days, the terrible days of God. That's the chapter title, the great days. The terrible days of God. And it reminds me of Saladin when he used to talk to me and say, "Brother, Allah is dreadful." He said, "Not only is Allah magnificent and merciful and benevolent, he's dreadful also, brother. That is one of his great attributes that one must take in consideration when you think about the Lord of the worlds." Listen to what he says. And pay close attention. "We must not forget how we are warned by prophecy," keywords, plural, "how we are warned by prophecy." So now, we get warning through prophetic teachings, through prophetic sayings. Listen to what he says. "We must not forget how we are warned by prophecies for 100 years and for 1,000 years that an end must come to his world." Whose world? Yaqub's world. That's what he's talking about. He goes and says, "The rulers of this world must be removed, and the crown must be taken off and placed upon another head, and they will rule in justice and righteousness." Now, we know it can't be Russia, because Russia's corrupt too. Russia talks about, but they do it in a sly turn. If you go to Sputnik, anything talking about black people reclaiming their own in South Africa or in Africa, Russia got something to say about that too. So don't think that Russia is benevolent. Allah raised Russia up to counteract America. So these two great poles of powers would go head to head, as the Quran says, and as Gog and Magog would sally forth. reducing the earth to a veritable hell. Look around you. Tell me whether or not they are not reducing the world to a veritable hell. Look in the Baltics. Look in the Caucasus. Look in Africa as they race to try to colonize Africa. Look over there in the Middle East. Look in South and Central America. Both of them thumping and beating their chests. Right? This is scripture. Gog and Magog are sallying forth. Oh, black man and black woman. Let's go a little further. He says, the people of this world have now become so wicked and so fearful of the consequences of their own rule until the almost thoughtless vision is gone. And fearfulness has taken hold of the people. Stop right there. We're going to stop right there. Think about that. They have no vision. And where there's no vision, what happens to the people? The people perish. Is that not right? For the vision means the light. They have no light. They have no light. All they're thinking about is maintaining domination over others. This is what they package it in a term called defense spending. National security. National interest. This is what they do. And they don't understand that their arrogance is stretching both the empire and the empire's nemesis to the core. And it's bankrupting them from within. Are you listening to me? Let's read. Listen to what he said. The people of this world have now become so wicked and so fearful. Every time you look around, they're fearing the consequences of their deeds. Is that all right? They're fearing when, and then they'll go back. Well, the Frank Dodd Act was removed. The Steel Act was removed. Well, who the hell removed it? Because it sure wasn't black people. Huh? Well, when the world went off the gold standard, who took us off? Because it wasn't black people. Well, since the Great Depression, this depression is coming. Who started the Great Depression? Huh? And whose actions and greed, arrogance, put this world in the position that it's in? Because it sure wasn't black people. I want you to understand these things, because some of you don't, you try to disassociate color from things that are taking place. But if it, look, color is the basis of why these things are taking place. You understand? Because if it wasn't, why the hell do they always talk about European security when Europe and America is the main threat to global security? Huh? Color. You better recognize these things. They want the white man. European is code word for white. The people of this world have now become so wicked and so fearful of the consequences of their own rule until the almost thoughtless vision is gone and filthiness has taken hold of the people. So, from politicians to military men, I was looking at Paul Volcker. I think that's his name, Paul Volcker, who used to be the Fed chief in the 70s, I believe, or early 80s. He preceded Alan Greenspan. And I was looking at an interview of him yesterday. But the interview I saw about 3 months ago, it was given about 3 or 4 months ago. But I just went back to look over it. And as I was looking over it, this devil was scared as hell at what he was seeing. And he was talking about America's, and words, he was in America's trap. There's no way to get out of this. This thing is ballooning to such a degree that there will be unheard of consequences. Then I looked, so as I'm looking at this, my mind tells me, now go see the, go get an interview and look at Greenspan and see what he said then and what he's saying now. And when he was in the, as the Fed chair, he was talking about the great unrivaled American economy. It can take this and it can take that. We see nothing that can derail the American economy. And then, as he gets out of office, He talks about that it's coming around that America's going to have to pay the piper for her policies. You see, this white man, I'm telling you, this white man is a snake. On one minute, he'll say this on this hand. And then when he thinks he's clear, he'll start telling his people, well, hey, it's going to get bad. So we even see Janet Yellen, the current Fed chair, making noise about the overextended economy. Remember she was saying a few years, when she got sworn in, how great the economy was and how this and that was going to happen? And now she's talking about that she sees dark clouds over the horizon. The IMF chief from France, she's talking about there are black swans everywhere out there economically, right? I want you to hear this real quick. Pay close attention to this.
You don't hear as much from Ron Paul these days since he has retired from politics, but when he does make statements, sometimes what he's saying has some significance. And he has said things in the past that have come true several times. Of course, no one's right all the time, but it's just the little things he looks at with common sense that I think is the factor here, especially in this situation. I think what he says in terms of this bubble being the biggest in history that mankind's ever seen, I think that's on point. He goes on to explain here recently in this interview with CNBC that, you know, they just keep printing the money, raising interest rates, and at some point you have got to have a correction. That's right. In the markets, there has to be some kind of pullback, some sort of retracement. And during that time frame, well, it's not the funnest. And when you have the country that's in debt, you have the people, and they have the government that's in debt, this is continuing to snowball with no answer, no fix. And he says that he believes the bubble is going to pop here within a year or so. Now, 2019 into 2020, really, a lot of eyes on this window in time. We have midterm elections coming up, and then right around the corner from that, there'll be announcements of who's going to be running for the next presidential election. And as we talked about a few weeks ago, we expect to see the protests fire up on a whole new level, Soros-backed, of course. That was put on display here with the whole Kavanaugh thing here recently. That's going to go tenfold. You just wait. I'm warning everybody out there of what's to come. The chitter-chatter of what we're hearing, of what we know, what we've been through in the streets from Ferguson to Cleveland to Baltimore to D.C., all the different events that we've covered, all the different times we've ran into these paid protesters. Well, what's coming around the pike is going to be something of the likes of which most people have never seen. And it's going to be fully orchestrated. It's not going to be like it's everyday people that said, oh, we've had enough.
See? You see that? Yeah. Now, they hear stuff. They see stuff. They're on the streets in their communities, right? Of course, the white man is not going to fully take responsibility. Whenever it comes to him, it's always a conspiracy. It's never organic. They protest this and put. No. People are fearful. They're scared. They're scared of what they see coming. This thing is so out of hand for the Western world, especially America, that you see them from high levels to low levels trying to warn their people. And yet you talking about what's going on, what is it, Atlanta Housewives or Husbands or whatever the hell it is, I don't know, caught TV foolishness, and the world is falling down. And you, Chicken George, you're not taking these matters seriously. And your life and the security of the lives of your family depend on you analyzing these things and taking them seriously and preparing yourselves accordingly. You know, Rashid and Gerald and I, we often speak on this platform, and we talk about the 60 to not exceed 70-year grace period when all hell breaks loose for America. Let me say that again. The 60 cannot exceed 70-year grace period when all hell breaks loose for America and the Western world, but specifically America, because she's number one on God's list for destruction. You can't get around this. I don't care if you offer America a match, a high beam light from a lighthouse, or a torchlight. The die has been cast, and America must and will succumb to judgment, because the prophets have spoken it, and therefore these things must take place. We may have good intentions, but you don't know the depths of wickedness of America. She must be paid back. You know, America don't care about, and let me say this real quick to show you how things work, because black people, we love, when we love something, we sometimes disassociate reality just to justify our love for madness, for an abusive spouse, for just mayhem. We like to disassociate ourselves from reality, right? I don't care how good you are. I don't care how benign your intentions were. If you make a mistake and kill somebody in anger, do you think America's, oh, well, we looked at this, and for 35 years of their life, they were doing well, and everybody vouched for them, and just they had one slip-up. We'll just cover this under the rug, and we'll start over again. Do you believe that? And America must be governed, she must be judged by how she governs. This is what prophecy tells us. Right? I'm trying to reconnect you to reality. She may have some good on her plate, and it's minute, but the plate is full of blood and gore, because she's a savage, berserker nation. You understand what I'm saying? So, again, we often talk about this 60 to not exceed 70-year grace period that was given to America, right, and the white world, specifically America. And as the time elapsed, things would start deteriorating faster and faster and faster. And if you look around, as we're at the ending point of that grace period, what is taking place in the market? What is taking place in the social fabric of America? What is taking place in the political scheme of things? I want you to be honest. Honest with yourself and honest with the events that are taking place. Why are all of these events, these cataclysmic events, taking place in the unwinding of the 60 to not exceed 70-year grace period? Because we got to use common sense here. She's the greatest debtor in the nation in the history of the world. Her economy is unwinding. Her military is being broken. Her political system is in dire straits. Her educational system, which is the basis for any nation, republic, or civilization to progress, is digressing. Her markets are in turmoil. Poverty is exploding. The have and have not divide has exploded to unheard of dimensions, all within a time span of the 60 to not exceed 70-year grace period. And I'm going to play a clip here shortly with this white man, Egon Von Grace. I think that's his name. I'm not going to play it just yet. Where he goes, and they talk about, they ask him about, well, when do you see this stuff unwinding, blah, blah, blah. And he goes into it, and he gives you a specific number. Remember, this man handles tens of billions of dollars in investment and in gold and in silver. This man has insider knowledge on the meltdown of the system and the projected time they see it all tumbles down, all falls down. And ironically, he gives it no later than the year 2025. The 60 to not exceed what? 70-year grace period. Huh? I'm talking to you. Don't get shy on me. I'm talking to you. They see The collapse, matter of fact, let's go back. Remember that what I said to you, what I read to you about Elijah Muhammad? He says, the people of this world have now become so wicked and so fearful of the consequences of their own rule until the almost thoughtless vision is gone and filthiness have taken hold of the people. Their head is going to and fro to the nations of the earth to find a way of peace between the heads of the nations. A great time, a troublesome time, a terrible time. Now, before I go further on that, remember we just played something, all right? Keyword, I'm going to replay a couple, maybe 30, 40 seconds of this clip that I just played to you. Keyword here, correction. I want you to pay close attention again as I play this, because he's going to mention it, okay?
You don't hear as much from Ron Paul these days since he has retired from politics, but when he does make statements, sometimes what he's saying has some significance. And he has said things in the past that have come true several times. Of course, no one's right all the time, but it's just the little things he looks at with common sense that I think is the factor here, especially in this situation. I think what he says in terms of this bubble being the biggest in history that mankind's ever seen, I think that's on point. He goes on to explain here recently in this interview with CNBC that, you know, they just keep printing the money, raising interest rates, and at some point you have got to have a correction.
Bill, at some point you have got to have a correction. Now, let's go to the dictionary. Google's dictionary says the word correction means the action or process of correcting something that is wrong. A change that rectifies an error or inaccuracy, right? Used to introduce an amended version of something one has just said. So, if the world continues to tell you that a correction is needed, then the system itself is in error, is that not right? If they continue to use the word correction or correcting, then that means that something is out of line, out of pocket, or incorrect, right? So if the system, if they're telling you that it needs a correction, and they're telling you that the system is incorrect, and you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know this, hell, look at your condition, look at your situation, in your own city, in your own county, in your own home, and tell me that the system is fair. Tell me that it is properly held up to just standards. You know it within your own wallet, within your own stomach, within your own room, that a correction is needed because the system itself is incorrect and it's not proper. But the thing here is, as the correction takes place and builds up steam, it is not just going to correct a system of imbalances and a system that is wrong. It will remove that which has benefited from the system, which has built the system and maintained it. Because if you remove the system and you leave these benefactors, and you leave the ones who made it and maintained it, they're just going to reboot it. Right? Look, go out there and you see the wildflowers or the sunflowers or whatever out there in the yard, in your yard. Go out there and just chop off the top of the plant and walk away. What will the root do? What will the root of the plant do? 9 times out of 10. It will reboot itself and reproduce that which you chopped off. That's why you constantly going out in your yard pulling up weeds. Because you didn't get to the core of it. You left the roots there. You chopped off the part that was through the soil, but you left what was underneath the soil. So in this correction, that which is wrong will be uprooted. I hope you hear what I'm saying. And that's why the markets continue to go into free fall and they spin it. What they'll do when things go bad, oh, yes, the markets fell, but think about this. Yeah, it fell 1,500 points. But think about it. Just this year alone, it rose about 1,800 points. They'll spin it. They'll put the turd in an ice cream cone, put sprinkles on it, and tell you it's chocolate. And you a fool and you'll taste it. That's what they do. They are deceivers by nature. They ain't just deceivers. The Bible Bible described them as arch deceivers. As deceivers, they have no equal. They'll turn you against your own family. Turn you against your own friends because they are artists. They are professionals at deception. Somebody you grew up with in your neighborhood, knew the person good, they put them on blast on the TV, then you say, I didn't know that person was like that. Then the white man will paint him a certain picture, then you say, some of you will say, I knew that nigga wasn't no good. I hate he was like that. But his side wasn't offered up. All you see is the side of the police. That's the way that white man, he pretends like that you innocent until proven guilty, yet he lay all of these burdens of guilt on you through his media. But you can't rebuff it because you in cuffs behind bars. You see this? You see this injustice? This is everyday injustice. But the system is in meltdown mode. I'm gonna play this short clip. All right? Well, it's long, but I'm going to play part of it because I'm playing this for you to hear how the markets are in free fall and in the death cross. Remember that everybody is talking about a correction must take place. And Ron Paul, in that CNBC article, when he was talking about that correction, and when he warned about what he sees coming, he said they can't. This is inevitable here. They cannot, because they have printed up so much debt, because they continue to spend in deficit, as I've been telling you on this, that the day of reckoning is quickly approaching. And he says, if the stock markets go to a 50% correction, the conditions will be worse than the Great Depression. This is what he's saying. You have analysts saying that even a 10% correction in the markets will lead to unheard of devastation and poverty. This is what they're saying. I'm not just telling you this. This is what they're saying. You can go to CNBC and Fox Business and all. They are being forced to confess the lies that they spewed out before. They'll say, well, the market will rebound. Or next year we'll do X, Y, Z. Then they'll come right behind it and say, oh, yeah, a correction is, we see correction out there, but don't worry. And then after they say don't worry, then they start telling you, well, if this correction takes place, first of all, you said it was coming. Second of all, you said you were seeing it. Now you say if. But what are the repercussions of if? Well, if it happens, poverty will be such and such. Homelessness will be such and such. Oh, and we will feel it. There will be wealth destruction unlike anything you've ever heard of. That white man a double talk, ain't it? That white man can tell you something. He'll sell you your own arm. He's such a great salesman. I want you to listen closely to this, and I'll cut it off at some point, and then we'll come back and we'll continue this as we're trying to let you see the fear is real. They know that they don't have a long time. They know, and this is why you see the rattling of war. This is why you see the nations building up for war. This is why you see the constant provocations, the constant deployments and redeployments. This is why you see this. Because they understand that the time is against them. But you can't see it because you're watching Judge Judy. I want you to pay close attention to this, okay? Don't hate your brother. Here we go.
Welcome to the Silver Report Uncut. Now, in some very disconcerting news, what we see is that the Dow currently is negative 447 points. And we are really actually beginning to see what could turn out to be the worst December in a long time. U.S. stocks, they're trading down sharply. It's been a volatile session. What we've seen is that the major benchmarks are whipsawing between steep losses and very, very small, minute, modest gains. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell into correction territory last week, but of course the three main benchmarks marked their worst start to December since 1980. There's fears that are growing out there. There's slowing global growth. All of the experts and central banking heads are now openly warning us. That way, when it does happen, they don't take the blame as if they were not aware of it, that they're ignorant. They don't want to appear foolish. So they have to bring it up. They have to talk about it. They have to be on the record to where they can show at such and such a speech, we discussed that this was going to be happening. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, it was down almost 2% at 23,000. The S&P 500 fell 45 points, the 1.7%, at 25.54. The NASDAQ Composite Index, it retreated another 125 points. What we saw was for the session, the highs of the Dow Jones was negative 12 points. That is the high, that is the climax of our wonderful day here on the markets. The S&P, it was up slightly to about 1 point. So that's the best we can produce today. So we're looking at right now, what's driving this? Well, there's just a handful of traders, you know, right now, and just a handful of sessions that are left in 2018. Investors are focusing on major macro headwinds that have been buffeting markets in recent months. We have these rising interest rates, the fact that liquidity is being pulled from the markets, and slowing global growth. So the Federal Reserve is going to conclude its final policy meeting of 2018 Wednesday. Everyone is already expecting a rate increase of a quarter of a percentage point. Even though the Dow Jones is already in correction, we're seeing some dangers popping up in all of these markets. And even more than that, there's a very ominous sign for the Dow. So just stick with me for a moment. We'll get to that. But the Federal Reserve statements could really see this ugly market action get much, much worse. They last issued projections for the future path of interest rates in September, and they showed that the median member of the Fed Interest Rate Setting Committee predicted the bank would lift interest rates once more in December and three times next year. So they're still scheduling in or planning in three rate hikes next year. I'll make this prediction. I'll be bold. They're not going to make it to three. They're not going to make it to three interest rate hikes in 2019. The way things are going, it's kind of getting concerning whether or not we're going to make it through the day. But since that time, evidence of slowing global growth, a rising dollar, slower inflation, they've all come through. They've all begun to manifest themselves. But yet the Fed does not find this encouraging to become more dovish in their public statements. The Fed Fund futures market, they show investors predict only one or even fewer rate increases next year. They don't even believe that you're going to make one. So anxieties over rate setting come with mounting signs of slowing global growth. Investors understand that the end of this almighty bull market that seems like it could never go down for so long. So on Friday, we've also seen evidence of the fact that there is a slowing of the Chinese economy. Cropped up as Chinese released data that showed both industrial output and retail sales for November missed their economist forecast. So a slowing Chinese economy underscores the importance for them as a whole, what comes out of the talks. But we definitely have a change because the narrative, the talking point that we've had continuously throughout this meteoric rise of the Dow is that these markets will never go down, that things will only go up, that the enormous profits that these people have already made since the bottom in 2008 are never going to come to an end. The powerful people run the market. They're not going to let it fall. They're not going to allow it to drop. And if you think for 1 minute that is what they want to do, is to have the markets continue operating safely and securely, let me tell you what, they would have shut down the banks from operating a long time ago. They would have broken up all of these monstrosity banks. They would have split them apart into 20 different companies and shipped them away. They would not allow a bank to control that much wealth, that many assets, that large of a section of the economy in the United States. But no, your best interests are not in hand. So Randy Frederick, he's the managing director of active trading and derivatives at Charles Schwab, he said, pretty much, we can blame the lack of any good news for traders to turn to. And of course, quote, today's gyrations are typical with this level of volatility, he added, arguing that with strong evidence of slowing global growth, investors will need convincing evidence that the U.S. economy can withstand difficulties abroad before jumping back into the market. Unfortunately, he sees little hope for such evidence before corporate earnings season in mid-January. Anybody hoping for a Santa Claus rally this year will be disappointed, unquote, he said. And again, the problem for investors is that even if you do get better news on trade and get better news from the Fed, you still have the problem of slowing growth. Alec Young, Managing Director of Global Markets Research at FTSE Russell, he continued, quote, you can argue the market looks cheap, but there's a lack of a catalyst. which is what is required to reverse the increasingly negative sentiment that is out there. Again, he says people have been buying the dips, but it's just not working. And at a certain point, that will lead to a buyer strike. And without those buyers coming in to support the heavy selling pressure, this could get much worse very fast. So it's interesting. A reading of the industrial activity in the New York region, the Empire State Index for December, showed manufacturing activity growing at a sharply slower pace compared with November. The index actually fell 12.4 points to 10.9 in December, and that's below the consensus expectations of 21. And also we see that the home builder confidence tumbled again in December, according to the National Association of Home Builders monthly index. It fell to 56 in December. It's the lowest level that we've seen since May of 2015, when they were pulling back the economy from a major problem then. They kept it under wraps, largely. But we look at some of the people who are getting hit. We see Best Buy. They just got downgraded by Bank of America. And the stock is down 2.8% today. Johnson & Johnson, of course, the shares have been remaining under selling pressure. We saw the stock slipping 3% after more than a 10% decline on Friday. Jack in the Box Incorporated, their stock was up 3.4% early Monday after the firm disclosed that it was exploring a possible sale. Goldman & Sachs, their shares are down 1% today. So on Friday, the Dow fell 496.87 points. We've not come to the close of our market yet, but it's looking like we're on the same track today. Now, the most concerning about all of this news is that we've already talked about what was going on in the S&P 500. That the 50-day moving average had crossed below the 200-day moving average, and it showed a very ominous sign. But it's also emerging in the stock market in other places. For example, the last important cross is about to take hold in the Dow. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is on the verge of joining the S&P 500 in what's called a death cross. The 50-day moving average is about to come down and cross below the 200-day moving average. And that's used to determine the long-term trend of an asset. What that means is the Dow Jones long-term trend is no longer positive. So chart watchers believe that this kind of a cross marks the point where a shorter-term decline graduates to a longer-term downtrend. So currently, the Dow's 50-day moving average was around 25,173.14. Compared against its 200-day moving average, it was at 25,083.23. So Friday, at the close of markets, it put the 50-day moving average less than 90 points from breaching the long-term average, which literally, as we're watching the Dow Jones continue to fall today, might be today. And the Dow just continues to suffer these punishing drops over and over, while half of the people that are listening and hearing this content are not even being made sick about it. They think somehow that it's never going to come down. In fact, if you'll go and take a look through the comments, I suggest you do it, even on this video. Surprisingly, you'll find numbers of people who volunteer their information as some sort of distributors of knowledge who seem to believe that the markets will never go down, that there's never going to be any problem in our economy. The economy right now is strong, that what we're seeing right now is conclusive evidence of the success of the American dream. And that's just not the case. As several people have pointed out just this morning, whenever you look out at charts and the indices throughout the world, that it was a sea of red. And it continues to happen. In fact, they're predicting the Federal Reserve is going to be raising interest rates on Wednesday. And already the market can't sustain it. Where do you think this is going? What do you think is going to be the end result of this? It's not coming. It is here. It has already begun. They're going to look back potentially years from now and explain that we had been in a recession the entire time. We're seeing the common man not benefiting from what was called a recovery, and more than that, they're removing all of those things that made it appear as if the economy was strong, all of that accommodative measures taken by the Federal Reserve. It's over. The party's over. And I will not be surprised if the Federal Reserve puts on a great show on Wednesday and they come out with strength of trying to put off this hawkish stance, trying to make people believe that things are going so well that they need to have this interest rate hike. Why? Because the consequences of their actions are being manifest now. and therefore the blame is coming.
Oh, man, it's just so much to even talk about on that. See, what did he say? Because the consequences of their actions are being manifested now. He said they're going to put on a great show. What did Elijah Muhammad say? The ruler of this world must be removed and the crown must be taken off and placed upon another head, and they will rule in justice and righteousness. The people of this world have now become so wicked and so fearful of the consequences of their own rule until the almost thoughtless vision is gone and filthiness has taken hold of the people. You see that? And he says, the party is over. Listen, this white man just told you, he said, the party is over. He says, they're talking about raising interest rates 3 times. He said, I'm going out on a limb with all of this stuff. They can't do it. We won't make it to a third rate raise in 2019. This is what, this stuff's so easy to prove, Elijah Muhammad. Sometimes I have to laugh for anybody who would try to dispute it because it's right here in black and white. And so he talks about the false show of prosperity. He said, I wouldn't be surprised if the Fed comes out there and, oh, we're prosperous. We're doing this. What Elijah Muhammad says, I'm afraid for you that you will receive what the people before you did receive. Allah is very angry with America and the technology that she uses on the dead to keep them dead. You are very disappointing to Allah and to the original black man who knows himself, a very few, of course. The false show of a glorious future that the wicked is putting on is at hand. We must remember Daniel's prophecy that at the end of the war, desolations are determined. But before this happens, Allah will bless the people with a good time, as he did the people of the past, who wronged themselves and who did not pay attention to the prophet's warning among them. Allah destroyed them. They thought that they were fooling Allah, but Allah surprised them. He made the people rejoice for a short time with a show of great prosperity. And at the height of their great prosperity, suddenly, he destroyed them. This is the merciful law that Allah has put in nature. Allah let a dying person rally at before the end. America is going to do the same. See? And he said, they're going to get with this pompous action and they're going to just make the try to make the people believe this stuff. But Elijah Muhammad says, America will rally and people will think that she's going to have a great future. Isn't that what he was saying in words of them? And then the end will come at that kind of time. Oh, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, it's so easy. And he talked about the fall is not coming. The collapse is not coming. He said it's here. What did Elijah Muhammad say? The fall of America is not to come, but it is underway. Huh? So this man talks about a correction. Then he talks about the anxiety of the people. Well, let's go back and revisit the word correction. The action or process of correcting something that is wrong. A change that rectifies an error or inaccuracy. Used to introduce or amend a version of something one has just said. And this man talks about the anxiety of the people. That's that burden, that chastisement on them. So let's look at what Google says about anxiety. A feeling of worry, nervousness, or unease, typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. Huh? Do you see this? They want to do something, but they can't. They want to do something, but they can't. They want to change the narrative, but they can't. The word anxiety has another definition. Desire to do something typically accompanied by unease. Right? They want to correct their mistakes. They want to try to sugarcoat this. They want to make you believe that something is great for them. But we know, even according to him, that it is accompanied by a feeling of worry, nervousness, or unease, typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. He said, mental notes. I don't have anything written in front of me. I'm telling you what I'm bringing up that I heard him say. Okay? And this is what the word death cross, the term death cross means. Okay? According to Google. A death cross is a technical indicator that occurs when a stock's short-term moving average falls below its long-term moving average. We in the collapse. We in the collapse, brothers and sisters. We in the decline. Right? They're telling you these things. They want to use all of this technical jargon that they speak. They're speaking over your heads because they think you are ignorant. And some of us are. But we are learning to understand them and their speaking so that we can prepare ourselves better for what we expect to come. Now, let me say this before we go further. When we were on that clip that I was playing, a host of my clips were deleted. I can't delete them, especially on the air, but they were deleted. So some of the clips that I want to play for you all, I'm going to try to have them for the next show, okay? It's crazy how they do this stuff, man. I guess we just, the truth hurts the guilty. And they do this stuff live on air. They're knocking people off the air as we speak. Several people are being knocked off the air and coming back. And then what they want you to do is be fed up. And so you say, I'm not going to go back to this show today. I've been knocked off 17 times. But that's what they want. But anything worth having is worth sacrifice. Most things that are easy are not worth it. You find out in the end that it's not worth it. And you find more enjoyment, more satisfaction when you struggle to attain something. And it builds fortitude within yourself. So don't let them frustrate you. Hell, they disconnect me. They mute me. And I'm the host. So if they do you like that, and you're not paying a penny to listen to the show, stop being lazy and call back in. Stop being lazy. It doesn't take you 7 seconds to call back in the show. It doesn't take you 7 seconds to put the URL in the address box on your computer. So you have no excuse or excuses. It's a very beautiful time to be a follower of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, because we're seeing in real time and we're hearing in real time the fear. Did you not hear the exasperation, the frustration, the anger, the resignation of the judgment in this man's voice? He's angry with the system. He's angry with the outcome that he sees coming to the system. He's angry at the people who have benefited from the system, even though he was one of the prime beneficiaries. But the situation has become real to them. When it was 40 years out, okay, we can deal with it. When it was 80 years out, we can deal with it. But now it's live and living color in his living room, so he can see it, touch it, smell it, taste it, hear it. And he understands that the finger of God has touched the American empire, and the republic is in decline. The republic is in decline. Let me go to the phone lines real quick. And I know your devil is knocking people off left and right. You just got to keep calling back in. I get dozens of people getting knocked off. I mean, I get knocked off. That's why I always tell you, ask you guys, if you don't hear me, if my mic get muted, text me while I'm on air. If I get knocked off the air, be patient with me and just stay on the air. You ain't got a lot to do. And if you got a lot to do, you still can sacrifice for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, so you can stay there and give me at least 5 minutes to try to get back on the air. We both in this together. Iron sharpen iron. Men sharpen men. All right? Let me go to the phone lines real quick before we go to another clip. I'm going to bring in Brother Rashid. I say unto you, my brother, As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, brother. How you doing?
Oh, brother, I'm doing great. How about yourself, my brother?
I'm alive, Black. brother, you got to be wrong, brother. The white man is going to be around here forever and a day. You see, all that stuff you were showing was the bad white man. That's not the good white man. You see? The good white man said, oh, don't worry about it. Everything's going to be all right. We'll be back here rooting you again, and you ain't ever leaving us. But you tell his same cat brother, and he might get mad at you and want to shock you and go all over and stuff. And he said, his end is up. His end is up. All black people should be joyful that the white man's way of life is assumed to be over with for us. At the 400, brother, it's been a 463-year of nightmares for the black man here in America. Time of incarceration is over. Why should you not be happy for it?
That's right.
Anybody in his right mind would not like to get tortured. The man is in the flesh again in such a condition that he's like to be abused.
Yeah.
It just don't make sense.
Yeah, and what they call it, the Stockholm Syndrome, where you identify with your oppressor and you attack the people that's trying to save you.
Yeah. And that's sure what the so-called American Negro did to the African brother.
Yeah. Yeah. You there, brother?
Yeah, I'm here, brother. I said the best thing we ever...
Your phone is going... Hey, brother, listen. Hang up and raise your hand again. Your phone is going in and out. I'm mute the brother, and I'll give him the air again. Listen, brother and sister. What we're doing here, we're proving to you that the time is up for these people. I mean, you can be mad and you can dispute it, but can you really dispute truth? I mean, we're letting you hear what the white man is saying about his own markets. We're letting you hear about him talking about the systemic corruption and greed. The inherent greed and racism that lies at the very base of a system. Now, if a system is based on greed and it's predatory and it's racist from its inception, and God is righteous, then he must remove that which hinders righteous progression. Is that not right? I'm trying to show you science in motion. I'm trying to show you real life mathematics. 1 + 1 = 2. I don't care how you look at it. But you seem to have the white man's mindset that he can do all the robbing and stealing and raping and murder, go in other people's lands far off, call them terrorists. Now, I want you to stop for a minute because all this is interconnected. Just listen for a minute. This man goes 4,000 miles away, bombs people on frivolous charges, kills people night and day, occupies over 140 countries, right? And when somebody fights him back, they're the terrorists. Well, we lost 3,000 men on 9/11. Yes, but you've been killing millions of them prior to, during, and after that. His mind is, I'm justified to use force, but not you. Think about this. I'm just giving you an example. I like for you to understand these things because this is their mind. If you don't understand their mind, you can fall victim to their mind and have their mindset. And I see a lot of Muslims, you old Muslims, with that mindset. So listen, America has no authorization internationally, because all this is interconnected, to be in Syria. She just went in there because she wants to occupy the Euphrates. She wants to prevent what she calls an Iranian crescent. She wants to put pressure on Russia. And I, you know what? Somebody sent me an email recently, and they had been digging in the crates or the archives of this show, and they had heard, they were listening to one of the shows where I was describing what was taking place, and I didn't even realize it. What is actually going on in Syria right now, we were talking about that about 5 or 6 years ago, what to expect. I wasn't even aware of that. I mean, we do these shows go by so fast. So, and they were telling me that I had warned what America was going to do, and I was telling you that regardless of how it looked, Russia was going to be forced to put up, because if she loses the Mediterranean base, her fleet in the Black Sea will be sitting ducks, because America would have that area surrounded. And so you saw what happened, and I went into depths on the show, but I'm getting to something. She goes into a nation without government approval of that nation, the democratically elected, or even the imposed upon government of that nation, right? Without their approval, she violates their sovereignty and then says, we have the right of self-defense. You in Syrian skies. You on Syrian territory. And the Syrians want to move you out, and if they fight you, we have the right to bomb them. Self-defense. How the hell is that any right? Do you see the injustice in this? I just want you to understand this. And this is how she conducts her financial policies, her economic policies, right? And this is why America is so screwed up at home. The reflection of America's international policies can be seen in her domestic policies. And this is why she's bankrupted. She's bankrupted financially, but that's not the only thing. She's bankrupt ethically and morally. She has no values. She has no ethics. She just blows with the wind to try to keep her dominion. I am. And there is none other. That's Nebuchadnezzar. Is that not right? This is what America does. She goes in a foreign land, bombs them, set up bases there. Lies. We only want two or three troops to fight terror. You're the one that brought the terror there. How the hell are you going to fight it? You're the one airlifting ISIS from one region to the other region. We have video. We have proof of this. And why isn't the media talking about it? Because that is today's biblical scribes. Those are the newspaper organizations. Those are the main media. This is what gives the empire its legitimacy. This is what justifies the empire's intervention. This is what justifies the empire's occupation. This is what justifies the empire's murder, genocide, and theft, and lands fall. And this is what is helping to bring the empire to its knees. You understand? The death cross not only talks about the economy, it is talking about a reflection of multiple fronts within the American Republic itself. She's suffering a death cross within her own civil society. She's suffering the death cross within her own educational system. If you don't believe me, thousands of teachers across America are protesting and marching for higher pay, for more respect. But you don't get that in the news because they don't want to put that in the mainstream. They want you to think that everything is A-okay. But Elijah Muhammad says, the wise of the wise and the scholars should take notes of this, because education is what we use to maintain civilization. And if your educational system is in disrepair, if the students and the teachers are rebelling against the government and the policies imposed upon them, how in the hell can you have a productive and progressive society? You can't. Dead Zone Memoirs, entry number 3. The fear of the meltdown is real. I want you to, Rashid, I'm gonna bring you back in shortly. Give me a second. I'm going to play this, and then we're going to address these things. And in the Dead Zone Memoirs, entry number 3, we're going to try to have those clips that were erased to one. Now, isn't it ironic? Listen, before I play this clip, isn't it ironic that I just told y'all that I'm going to let y'all hear Egon von Greyer and how he talks about the time for the collapse and all hell breaking loose and all this 2025 and all 6 of the clips, those clips, were erased when the clips were erased a few minutes ago. Isn't that ironic? Ha, 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 this devil is something else, but I tell you. That lets you know he's listening too. He's getting him a good ear for it. But I want you to pay close attention and listen to this about how the IMF is warning of the coming financial crisis. And remember that the man you just heard say it's not coming. We're in the midst of it. So there's a disconnect here. This is what I'm telling you. The devil, he plays good cop, bad cop. He tries on what, oh, Trump wants to meet with Russia, but the deep state is against it. Brothers and sisters, this is a facade. As what's his name told me, F. William Engdahl said, if Trump was not a part of the system, they would have killed him immediately if he bucked up against his master. And this is what I'm trying to get you. Sometimes you read this white man newspaper, you read his so-called alternative sites, and you buy into it. A lot of Muslims fall into this madness. They fall into it, and they don't get the inside scoop. And so, and when I tell you certain things, you get mad at me, but I'm telling you from a source that knows black man and black woman. Don't get mad at your brother. Pay close attention to what they're saying, okay? Because they're giving it up on their own people. But they're not talking to you. They're trying to talk over you because they think you're preoccupied with Sunday's football game, with the UFC fight, with Judge Judy. Is there still a Judge Judy? A judge such and such, or a housewife, or a house husband, or whatever you want to call it. They want you preoccupied with foolishness in the midst of the collapse. They want you to be Samson, and you are Samson. But remember, Samson didn't care about seeing the future of his people. He just wanted revenge. He was willing to die blind to the reality of the judgment of those people. I want you to be awakened in this fall of America and the collapse of white power universally. It's a beautiful time to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, the last and the greatest of the messengers of God. And I say that with no apologies, but with confirmation and assurity. This is a very beautiful time. Listen to this.
Welcome to the Silver Report Uncut. And now, there's some very big news, and it has to do with the budget right now. In fact, the U.S. posted the biggest November budget deficit on record. And by that, I mean in its history. Total government spending came as twice as much as revenue. So the deficit for November surged 18.4% year over year, and that's up to $411 billion. Just a year ago, in the same month, it was $347 billion. So we're actually having spending go up in a time when receipts have actually declined 1% to $206 billion, from about $208 billion in 2017. Now, spending needs to be stalled or slowed in order for the tax hikes to be able to be beneficial. You cannot do both. But fiscal responsibility just seems to be something we're not going to be able to see out of Washington at this point. So the Treasury Department, in their monthly report on Thursday, said that we had the biggest spending categories in Social Security, $84 billion, Medicare, $77 billion, National Defense, $62 billion, and Income Security came in at $46 billion, Health, of course, $42 billion. Of course, we cannot forget about the $22 trillion debt. Well, we needed some debt service, so the interest was $33 billion. At the same time, individual income taxes and Social Security taxes for the month, they generated $93 billion. So the result is a November deficit of $205 billion, a 48% increase from the $139 billion shortfall just last year. That is the largest November deficit on record. For the first 2 months of the fiscal year, which began October 1st, the deficit widened to $305.4 billion. That's up 50% compared to the $201.8 billion just last year. So for the fiscal year of 2018, what we saw was an enacted tax cut package and an enacted $1 trillion stimulus program. So the U.S. ran the largest deficit in 6 years. With all the spending and the lack of receipts coming in, they're now expecting the federal deficit to be running around $1 trillion sometime in 2019. It's very interesting because the Congressional Budget Office came out and they had a forecast which we covered, and they were
projecting that the government would reach a deficit of $1 trillion not until 2020. So we're moving at a very rapid pace. In fact, we're going to get there a whole year early. But that's not all, because it seems like everybody in positions of power right now that really understands what's going on in the economy, number of them, which is, you know, talked about, we are in the greatest economic expansion. But now David Lipton, he's the deputy head of the International Monetary Fund. Now, if you don't know what the IMF is, it was founded back during restructuring programs. It includes the World Bank, the IMF. They were set up to try to reorganize the world's economies because they had just gone through chaos. Things were falling apart. Europe was in shambles. I mean, that's how we came to the Bretton Woods agreement in the first place. But it's interesting because he just gave a speech, and the way he described it is that crisis prevention is incomplete. And that's been 10 years since the last crash of the global banking system. He said, quote, as we put it, fix the roof while the sun shines, unquote. But, like many of you, I see storm clouds building and fear the work of crisis prevention is incomplete, unquote. So the way he views the current economic situation in the world, because we're not only limited only to what's going on in our economy, we're not only affected by what's going on in our economy, but the way he sees it, it's described as storm clouds are building, and we're not ready. We're not ready, number one. Lipton, he said individual nation states alone would lack firepower to combat the next recession, while calling on governments to work together to tackle the issues that could spark another crash. He said, quote, we ought to be concerned about the potency of monetary policy, unquote. He said the ability of the U.S. Federal Reserve and other central banks to cut interest rates to boost the economy in the event of another downturn, while also warning high levels of borrowing by governments constrain their scope for cutting taxes and raising spending. So these are some very serious points he brings up. Number one, the Federal Reserve has nowhere to go when it comes to being able to cut interest rates once again. All other previous recessions in recent history, the Federal Reserve has been able to go out and to drop interest rates low. They took an unprecedented step this time, bringing them the entire way down to zero. That is because they never really made it back up to normal from the tech bubble. But maybe they didn't tell you that when they were selling you on the idea that we should go over and abandon the Bretton Woods and adopt a fiat currency, that this is the inevitable result. Fiat currencies always go to zero. That's their intrinsic value. It is literally paper that they've convinced us is money, which they can print at will and manipulate the entire economy around us. They control the entire economy, but they neglected to fully disclose to us that the end result of adopting the fiat currency known as the U.S. dollar, it would eventually go supernova. And that is what's happening right now. They are unable to contain it. We see the diminished ability of the U.S. Federal Reserve to be able to shore off recessions as it no longer can maintain healthy interest rates. Even a small little blip, like somebody mentioned in the comments yesterday, and it's not funny, though, it's not funny that a little 0.25 increase could take down this entire economy. That is because it's not strong. It's not able to stand. What has been taken is not fully realized, which is the American economy was over a long time ago. It was over for you, over for me. The only people still profiting is the U.S. Federal Reserve right now. And you're, oh, well, they don't profit. Guess what? They're not federal. And I know the people who listen to our program know this. They are profiting. And that's why we frequently bring up the point of sound money on this program. And a lot of people, they look at the day-to-day. Like, for example, we see the price of silver surging right now. And to the casual person, they say, oh, well, it's not surging. Silver has carried a significant move, an enormous amount of volume. It's also changed from a technical bear market to now being on the upside. But whenever the deputy head of the IMF comes out and says things like, we are unprepared for the financial crisis, we are unable to stop it, what they are saying is there is coming an end to the system. The system cannot remain. You see, it's sick, all backed by a false currency. This is the reason, in the very founding of this country, that they came together and agreed that nothing besides gold and silver coin shall be used as money. is because the chaos that erupts onto markets and within economies, it has the capability of toppling entire nations whenever fiat currencies collapse. It's a horrible idea. Plus, it robs the common man. An investment in silver is not just about the day-to-day. Like I said, it's about the long-term. It's about preservation of wealth, of value. That every day, your money held in U.S. dollars loses a little bit more of its value. Every day, for example, if we take this exact time 2 years from now and you walk into the grocery store, who knows what the prices are going to be? Who knows how far your paycheck is going to go? There used to be a time when $20 in this country would buy you a whole lot. Now you can't even barely get something to eat, not even at McDonald's. And so you tell me how well the U.S. dollar is doing as a store of value. That's the same thing John LaForge was talking about. He's the head of real asset strategy at Wells Fargo, but he said supply-demand fundamentals right now are turning in favor of commodities for 2019, especially the metals. This, he said, quote, metals are the one real positive we like above and beyond everything else, particularly silver, particularly platinum. So we like commodities, but we especially like the metals. They also said that gold is expected to lag for 2019, but they are placing a 2019 target on gold at $1,300 an ounce. But when it comes to sound money, when it comes to silver investment, it's about so much more than profit. It's about preservation, sustainability. Gold is accepted all around the world. And I read a very interesting article just the other week when it talked about gold, and there was a quote in there discussing the gold would have value if for nothing else but that it allows the common man to enact his escape from nations. And it's very interesting the way he put it. It allows you to transfer your wealth right now from the currency in the country you live in. And most of the people on this program actually are in the United States. And for the most part, a lot of people stay put. They stay within the United States. They don't travel abroad. And we also don't have some of the problems that they have in other countries. Like, for example, when you live in some countries like China and you want to leave the country, most of your wealth needs to remain there. That is the reason for the popularity for such vehicles like Bitcoin. And it opened borders. It allowed for money to be able to move in places where it previously could not. Gold is very similar. Just within a single roll of Gold Eagles, it could contain a small fortune. So small it can fit just in your pocket. It doesn't break down, doesn't corrode, very easily hidden, and accepted around the world in every nation in the world and exchangeable into their currency. In the event that the U.S. dollar would no longer remain king and we would see a downward spiral, as we're already seeing this struggle at the top to see who's going to be king of the hill, anything that would come next, silver and...
So, we heard a lot in this clip. I wanted to, as he was talking, I just let it play out because there's a lot that he was saying. And you understand that he's talking about the inherent corruption of the system. Brother Charles, one of our longest listeners of this show, he used to often say this as we would talk behind closed doors. And so I'm a borrow this from Brother Charles, as I say on the show sometimes. He said, when we look at America, or we look at the economy of America, she has what we call the light bulb effect. He said, and then he explains it, which was beautiful. He says, at the end of the light bulb's life, it gets brighter, right? And you think it's going to last forever. And then with no warning, poof, it's gone. This man, he said something about the U.S. dollar and the economy going supernova. And when he said that, immediately my head turned to Brother Charles. Immediately, because he's saying exactly what Brother Charles said. And matter of fact, let's go to the Google definition of the word supernova. It's a noun in astronomy. The definition is this: a star that suddenly increases greatly in brightness because of a catastrophic explosion that ejects most of its mass. It's supernova. So we see the dollar, and the dollar is strengthening The dollar is strengthening. How the hell can the dollar strengthen if it has no sound backing? Unless we are witnessing the light bulb or supernova effect or the death cost of the American dollar and the American economy. You understand? This is real. This is real. So I give credit where credit is due. And I'm going to always mention the brothers and sisters who said what. I'm not going to ever put myself out there like I knew this and I said this, but I'm just telling you. This is where we have arrived at, in the collapse of America. Now, I'm going to go to the phone lines real quick. I'm going to bring, because we abruptly cut Brother Rashid off because his phone was going in and out. And so I'm going to give Brother Rashid the time that he needs, even if we have to go over a few minutes, to finish his thoughts and his sayings, because that's only right. Let me go to the phone lines real quick. Brother Rashid, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Can you hear me, brother?
Yeah, brother, we hear you clear now.
Brother, getting off a subject for one second. You were talking about Samson, right?
Yeah.
Samson is 250 pounds with muscles all on the top of his head. And here comes Delilah, 115 pounds, no muscles nowhere. She's zipping him up and down the street.
Yeah.
What the man you say? She took 7 locks of clips away from his head, and that represented the time that he was at the end of their society and that he should live. And he just didn't. Samson was so confused by her whipping him up and down, he had a big question mark on the top of his head. He was in that bad of a shape. But, what you were saying, brother, as the, about the light bulb effect, it's going out. And the white world is going out, and we should be happy that Allah did come, and he's given us the knowledge to make us successful in this day and time. I was talking to an older brother yesterday, and he was saying that the messenger taught to understand that when this thing happened, the messenger told his followers to go inside and close the door and let Allah deal with these people.
Right.
The messenger said that all of my people will believe as I believe. If they don't, they'll tell the lie. So something has to come to make our people change their mind. If
that's right.
If I wrote down judgment right now, 99.9% of our people would go with the white man into the physical fire. But Allah's got something in store that's going to change their mind. And when it deal go down, most of our people are going to be thinking like us. You're going to call
right.
the white man the devil, too.
Wa alaikum salam. And that's what I say on my show. I'm going to bring you in, Brother Gerald, in just a second. I know we got about 2 or 3 minutes, so I'm going to let you talk in just a second. But Saladin used to always tell me that he said, brother, it was given us in FOI class that we're going to have to meet inside our house if we are to meet. He said, we're going to have to stay there. He said, and at this time, the hypocrites will have reign, and they will go out there, and they'll be marching, and they'll be doing this. I mean, this brother was telling me this decades ago. He said, and it will get progressively worse. And he says, and at the end of that, well, as we're going closer and closer, 60 seconds and a week or a year and beyond, this thing will deteriorate at such a pace that you're going to have to extricate yourself from around a lot of people. That's why he always taught me on guerrilla warfare or how to be an island unto myself. He said, because, brother, if you... with these people, they might have good intentions. But when the chastisement comes down, if you're in the way, it's going to jump on you too. You're going to have to remove yourself. Even if people don't understand it, they'll understand it eventually. You just remove yourself and your loved ones from this thing. And stay to yourselves. The brother used to give me all kind of information, but I'm telling you this. And like I said, he burned it on my brain. Let me go. I know the time is running out, but I got to bring my good brother, Brother Jerry, and Brother, salam alaikum.
Walaikum salam, sir. Well, brother.
How's it going, my good brother?
I'm doing fine. All praise due to Allah. Another powerful show, brother, as always. And as Brother Rashid spoke on, you know, in terms of what our people and their... Samson, Brother, you know, he's blinded to the reality of the time because the devil uses deception, you know, 24/7 to keep our people, you know, really minds focused on, you know, his world of sport and play. And this is what he does. You know, as the scripture says, you know, the devil came down having great wrath because he knows he has a short period of time. That's 6,000 years. You know, speaking of that, you know, the first clip you played is a site called Dabu 777, the one that was speaking on Ron Paul. Now, he's one who's been trying to warn his people for years. In fact, about it, they cut his website. He had to change his site, you know, just how severe the time is. But, you know, they see no future in sight. All they can do is just try to warn one another of their fall. And, you know, this is what's happening. You know, all praise is due to Allah. You know, we have the insight, and we've had brothers around us, you know, mentors, you know, to open our eyes to the reality of the time. And these are blessings. The only way that you can really see that the teachings of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad is if Allah blesses us with this insight. And so with this insight, we can actually see, you know, the systems of the white man that's falling constantly, and the world that's merging in, that the Master Fraud Muhammad, you know, Allah in person taught his messenger, who has taught us, you know, during the 40 years, the duration of time in which that he was here, all praise is due to Allah for his presence, of the fall of America and the rise of the black nation as taught by the messenger that's going to be ruled under freedom, justice, and equality under the banner of Islam. Now, getting to the point in which I initially called in for, speaking of the stock market, there's the article, brothers, called Prepare Now, the Debt Bomb of 2008, 2018 is blowing up by Graham Summers of Gains, Pains, and Capital. Everything bubble has officially burst. We have now reached the point at which systematically important debt instruments are collapsing. It is one thing is a relatively bubble. Say subprime auto loans goes bust. It is an entirely different matter if a more senior debt instrument such as leveraged loans or corporate debt goes bust. As of last week, they have the leveraged loan market fast officially blown up. The bull market here is over. Things are actually so bad that banks are pulling deals because they are unable to sell loans to investors anymore. This collapse is not reserved to just leveraged loans. The entire investment-grade corporate bond market has broken its bull market trend line running back to 2010. If you think stocks are immune to this, you're mistaken. The bull market there is also over. The financial media is polishing the brass on the Titanic. This whole mess is going down. Guess what's coming next? As the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, your guess is good as mine.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And let me follow you up. Hey, brother, I'm not going to mute you just yet. I want you to listen. Like one of the new articles out, this is from Bloomberg, and it says, Americans turn more pessimistic on the economy. And to his left of this article, this is what it says right here of one of the most read articles on the page. Someone is preparing for the worst after the 2019 elections. This is what they're telling you. And look at this. And more than that, the next headline from Zero Hedge, foreigners dump U.S. treasuries as they liquidate a record amount of U.S. stocks. Look at this. Another one from CNBC, Cramer. It's not a safe market. In fact, it's the most treacherous stock market I've seen in many years. Listen to this one. This is from Business Financial Post. Dow plunges almost 600 points, and S&P near its 2018 low. As a matter of fact, if we go to this, another article, I'm giving this to the people before we get off there. I just want them to see this. This is from the Daily Mail, a British newspaper. Markets plunge again, and Dow Jones sinking 500 points and losing all of its gains after Trump tweaks anger at the Federal Reserve for considering a rate rise. Now, isn't that an irresponsible leader? Isn't that folly? Isn't that ineptitude of a leader? But see, this, remember, and I know Brother Charles told you all this because Brother Saladin told me about how when this man get in the office, he wouldn't even know it because he's not a politician. He would be
hurting his own nation. All right? Are we not witnessing that in the 60 to not exceed 70 year grace period? And in the midst of all that, you heard when I played the clip. And we're going to close in just a second. But you heard when I played the clip a few minutes ago when the guy was talking about gold and silver is wealth preservation. You see, they're not talking about spiritual preservation. They're more concerned about having finances in the transition. This is a problem here. As the anthropologist Dr. Fardon talked about, white people put an emphasis on material gains. They put an emphasis on property over lives. Can you just hear that from that guy?
That's right.
Can you just hear? Oh, praise the due to Allah. Brother, I'm going to mute you for a second, brother. Thank you for everything, Brother Gerald. And as always, it's a very beautiful time to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. As-salamu alaykum, brother. Now, brothers and sisters, for those of you who are listening to the show, we'll have part four, the entry part four of the Death Zone memoirs. And we're going to keep this series going. It won't be an every day or every week series, but we got to keep this series going because it has so much in it. And this white man is talking about wealth preservation. But remember what the fifth book of James tells us about that? Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl, for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is canker, and the rest of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as if it were fire. Ye have heaped treasures together for the last days. So no matter what they're saying, go on by the silver, go on by the gold. That's the Honorable Elijah Muhammad say, that's ours. It's coming with us. He says, behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud. Now, stop right there. Who has labored and toiled sun up to sundown in the fields of this white man of America? That's talking about you and I. God is going to return this upon the head of those who are the beneficiaries of the American system and the American Republic. And that's why, without a shadow of a doubt, we are living in and we are watching with eyes wide open and a heart full of joy, the fall of America. Brothers and sisters, with an undying love and passion for the liberation, the upliftment, and the redemption of 68 million of our kind first here in America, then the billions around the globe, know that your little brother Rashid Muhammad loves you to life, but the love that I have for you pales in comparison to the love that my God, my Savior, and my Redeemer, Almighty God Allah, in the person of one, Master Farad Muhammad, to whom all holy praises are due forever, his messenger, the last and the greatest of the messengers of God, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and that mighty, mighty Nation of Islam has for you. Until we next speak again, stay strong, stay true, but above all things, stay righteous. I love you all. As-salamu alaykum.
For information on our next show, please visit trumpetoftruth.wordpress.com and click on the Blog Talk Radio button. Until we converse again, always remember, no matter how low society may have rendered you, the wisdom of the one true God will lift you on high. May God bless and keep you. The Star and Crescent Report was created and directed by Rashid Muhammad, produced by Nicole Muhammad, and hosted by Rashid Hiram, 1555 Muhammad. Have a blessed day. That I like the moon I made.